Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Culture Exchange Podcast. My name is Las Vegas J. You can follow me on Instagram and YouTube at Las Vegas J, and the J is spelled J-A-Y. So on today's episode, we have a few topics to talk about, with the first being possibly the most important topic for us. Like, I don't know if you want to call us nerds or people that just love technology, but it's for electric cars. So I want to talk about the Tesla event for the Tesla Model S Plaid. And for the people that don't know it, or haven't heard about the Tesla Plaid Model S, the Plaid Model S is going to be, if not already, the fastest 0 to 60 car ever produced, so ever in production. So it goes from 0 to 60 in 1.99 seconds. That is incredible. So that's beating your Bugattis. That's beating your Lamborghinis. That's beating your Ferraris. That's beating your Mustangs, your freaking GT500 Mustangs, V8. It beats everything besides like a high-powered race car. So to have that type of performance, and it can go from 0 to 60 in almost complete silence, and you can race a Bugatti Chiron or a Veyron or a Veyron Sport, you can race all of those cars and beat them. And the car, I believe it retails for about $140,000. If you were a millionaire and you have a choice of either choosing a Bugatti that's around $3 million, or you could buy a Tesla Plaid Model S for $140,000 that can beat that $3 million Bugatti, which one are you going to pick? Clearly, price versus performance is going to tell you to buy that Tesla Model S Plaid. And it's such a significant release for Tesla because Elon Musk, the CEO of the company, has been alluding to something that is beyond the performance, or beyond the ludicrous performance that they previously had with their Model S. And it all kind of relates to the movie named Spaceballs. And I wasn't really into Spaceballs, to be honest with you, but there was a part in the movie where one of the characters says, the only thing beyond ludicrous is Plaid. So Elon Musk is clearly a big fan of the movie. So he literally has his product line for the Model S modeled after the movie Spaceballs, which is ridiculous. So he had ludicrous mode on his performance Model S in the past. And he's always talked about having a Plaid version of the Model S. And now that it's released, it's absolutely ludicrous. So it has 390 miles of range, and you can charge at a version 3 supercharger. 15 minutes gets you around 180 miles of range, which 15 minutes at a supercharging stop is literally getting out to stretch your legs and getting back in the car. It's not even enough time for a restroom break. And to get that type of charging speed and be on the road within 15 minutes, that's utterly ridiculous. So you have to figure that if you have a gasoline vehicle, the equivalent to that, yes, you can be in and out of the gas station in 5, at most 10 minutes if you need to use the restroom, but you have to think about the cost. So the cost to fill up a normal gasoline car here on the West Coast, specifically Nevada, because I can't speak for California because those prices are absolutely insane. But it costs around 40 to 60 bucks a fill up. I don't know what a fill up is, but it's 40 to 60 bucks a fill up on a tank of gasoline. And if you go to a Tesla supercharger, even if you're paying, it will probably end up being around 10 or 15 bucks at most. Here in Nevada, it's probably going to be around $12 at most to fill it up all the way. And just to get that type of mileage on the Plaid Model S from a V3 supercharger, which there are plenty of them here in the US at least, is ridiculous if you think about it. Because I actually have an older Model S, a 2015, that I bought used, and the amount of innovation with Tesla is absolutely ridiculous. Because if you look at a car that is 6 years old, like my car, if I go to a Tesla supercharger, I'm going to be waiting for maybe 30, 35, at most 40 minutes at a supercharger just to get to about 80% to give me about 180 miles of range. But this Tesla Plaid can get the same amount of miles in 15 minutes. So that's absolutely ridiculous to have that type of evolution in stages and reach such a monumental point where you can pretty much, you're almost the equivalent of filling up a tank of gasoline. That's ridiculous. And this technology, so they literally said it, the motor inside the car was a carbon sleeved motor. That I can't even explain what that is, but that to break it down, it pretty much means that this car you can take it to the racetrack, and with the thermals inside of the motor and the batteries and the radiator, you can just keep going. So you can keep doing launches from 0 to 60 over and over and over again without the car overheating, without the batteries overheating, without the motor overheating. And that has been a large issue with electric vehicles in the past. But it looks like Tesla has engineered their way out of this issue, this problem that electric vehicles have been having, especially high performance electric vehicles like the Tesla with the ludicrous mode. Now Tesla is running circles around companies like Bugatti, Lamborghini, Ferrari, and they've only been selling cars since like 2012 in larger scale production, with smaller scale production for their previous Roadster that was released in 2008. So you have to think about it. This company has really only been selling cars for 9 years, and they're beating Bear. And you have to think about that. This car company, Tesla, is beating. I'm sorry, my dog was having some licking sounds, and I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Because it's interfering with the recording. But Tesla has outperformed these companies that have been around for 100+ years in different countries. Like Ford, they've beaten out General Motors, Stellantis, AKA Chrysler. They've beaten all these guys on their home turf, and they've only been in existence for a ridiculous only 9 years. So you got to think about that. So how fast they are innovating these vehicles to become better and better. You think you have the best Tesla car when you buy it new, and then like 6 months later, there's a better version of the car you just bought and it's cheaper. That is one of the downsides of buying a car from Tesla brand new, but that's one of the upsides of any future buyers that may be thinking about buying a Tesla down the line. So at a point, you have to think about what or when, it's not if, it's when will you buy your first electric vehicle? Because you have to think about it. Tesla has an affordable, quote unquote, affordable car already called the Model 3. And the Model 3 right now retails for about $39,000, $37,000, I believe. And you never have to put gas in the car. You don't have to replace the spark plugs, get oil changes, worry about a fuel filter, worry about all this other stuff that the gasoline cars have as far as maintenance goes. And these electric vehicles go for now over half a million miles, and they still will ride brand new. You have to think about that. who keeps a gas car pretty much over 150,000 miles before it starts to become a money pit and you have to think about rebuilding the engine, swap the engine, or get a brand new car. So you have to think about the economics of an electric vehicle. So if you buy a Tesla Model 3 Standard Range Plus, you spend 38 grand on it. Yeah, that's a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But when you pay that car off, or when you finance it and you pay it off over the course of a few years, after that, you can theoretically keep this car for about 15 to 20 years. That's ridiculous. So you have to think about the average American drives around 10 to 15,000 miles a year, and you do the math, that's literally almost what, 400,000 to 500,000 miles, and at the 15-year mark, you're going to give it to your kids. You're going to give this Model 3 that's been paid off for almost 11 years at that point. You're going to give this to your kids, and your kids are going to be riding in this car for another 10, maybe 15 years. So these cars do last quite a long time. It's only because Tesla over-engineers their vehicles, their motors, their batteries, and just how structurally sound these vehicles are. And they're super safe because they have what they call crumple zones. Crumple zones is just the area when you get into either when you get rear-ended or when you hit somebody, the car literally compresses on itself and it crunches. And those zones that crunch are called crumple zones. And Tesla has a large crumple zone in the front and the back of the vehicle. So if you happen to rear end somebody, your whole front is smashed up, but the crumple zones actually absorb the force of the crash, keeping you safer than if you had an actual gas engine in the front of the car. So, 'cause if you rear end somebody, that gas engine, if you're driving a gas car, has to go somewhere. And if you crash into somebody, that engine is either going forward or that engine is coming into the cabin. And that is very, very dangerous. So that's why I believe that the economics over time makes sense and is very compelling to purchase a Tesla or an electric vehicle in general, is just because of the reduced costs of maintenance, the reduced cost of fuel. And if you do happen to have a home or a place where you can get, excuse me, where you can get a 240 volt plug installed, and your electric rates are cheap, like they here are they like they are here in Nevada, like I believe after 7 p.m., the electricity rates are so low, it's 4 cents per kilowatt hour. And if you do the math, my car right now, it's sitting in the garage, has a battery that's 70 kilowatt hours. So if you do the math, a full charge from 0 to 100% is going to be about a little over $2 to give me 220 miles of range. What the economics just don't make sense for you to buy a gas car. They simply just don't. And Tesla has the addition of what they call autopilot. So it's a level two driver assistance feature that gives you lane centering. It keeps your distance from the car in front of you and has a, I guess, front collision avoidance all built in. And this stuff is standard. No matter what model that you buy from them, that feature is standard. So you're keeping you, your family safe inside a car that you're going to be keeping for about 20 years. It just doesn't make sense to buy a gas car nowadays. And you have to think to a point, when are you going to buy an electric vehicle? Are you going to buy it from Ford? Are you going to buy it from Tesla? Are you going to buy it from BMW? Are you going to buy it from Volkswagen? You have to think about your next vehicle purchase really soon, because these gas cars and the cost of gasoline is going through the roof. If you guys have not been to downtown LA, oh my goodness. Gas down there is about $4 to $5 a gallon. And the reason why you see so many Teslas when you visit California is because these cars are cheaper to run. The owners of a Tesla, the owners of Teslas, we don't have to worry about gas prices going up and down. So we don't have to worry about, hey, this is my last 20. I have to spend it on a tank of gas, and you only get what, a quarter full. You can take that $20 and you can spend 10 of it at a supercharger and get a full charge and have $10 for dinner. Like, it just doesn't make sense to buy a gas car. It just doesn't, unless you don't have the necessary charging infrastructure, which Tesla has a world-class, like number one fast DC charging network, which is called their supercharger network. And they have a supercharger in every single state in the contiguous USA. So excluding Alaska only, because Hawaii has a couple now. That's ridiculous, right? So there's no excuse other than you not being you being fearful of the car payment. Because if you do the math with your current car, it may be equal or even less if you happen to price out a Tesla Model 3. Just do the math. Just get a piece of paper out, and you write down how much you spend on gas per month on your gas car, and you factor in your insurance, you factor in your car payment, you factor in your maintenance, and you look at a Tesla, you price it out monthly, and then you factor in the cost of electricity. I promise you, 9 times out of 10, it's going to make more financial sense to buy a Tesla. I promise you. Okay, so the next topic I want to talk about during the podcast is my Ellen story. So I actually got a chance to meet Ellen DeGeneres. Let me explain. So let's what rewind to 2019, end of 2018, I want to say. So my partner, she told me that she wanted to go to the Ellen show, like the daytime show, right? And I me not really caring about too much at the time, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go if you get the tickets. So she gets the tickets. We drive out to LA just for Ellen's daytime show, just to be in the audience, right? And we're standing in line to actually get into the studio, and the people that work on the Ellen show pulled our group to the side and asked us, hey, do you guys want to try out for Ellen's game show? And I was like, wait a minute. Isn't Why does she have a game show? Why does she have a game show? She already has a daytime show, and she does so many other things. I'm like, wait, who greenlit Ellen DeGeneres' game show? Because I had never heard of it at this time. So I was like, oh, okay, it must be cool, I guess. Like, who I'm guess like who would say no to go into Ellen's show? So we agreed, and they literally took a video of us with like some this guy's iPhone, and had us just write down our contact information while we were still waiting in line for the show. So when he was videotaping us with his phone, he was just like, "Act crazy, do this and that, and tell us where you're from, what do you do for a living?" And I guess they must have liked what I said in particular, because we were in a party of three, so I was the only one that was chosen to go forward with the casting process for Ellen's game show. So we go to Ellen's daytime show, and after the fact, a few people hit me up from the Ellen show saying, "Hey, we need you to go get a background check, get a physical from a doctor, like get a doctor's note to for a doctor to sign off that you can actually do physical activities, sign an NDA of you not telling anybody the result of the show." And they tell me that I have to get on like a Zoom call with one of the producers to play a game of heads up. So for the people that don't know what heads up is, it's a game on your phone, and it's like a trivia game. So you hold the phone up to your forehead, and there's a word on the screen where you yourself holding the phone has to guess, but the people around you are giving you clues on what that word actually is. And if you get it right, you flip down. And if you get that guess incorrect, you flip up to skip if you want to skip. So I had to actually be on a Zoom call with the producer, some random guy from the Ellen show, playing heads up with this guy. And after the fact, he's like, "Hey, can you submit a video of yourself playing games with a group of people?" So me, I'm working at T-Mobile right now. So at a store, and I ask my coworkers, I'm like, "Hey, weird question. Can you guys help me get on Ellen's game show? Can we just pretend like we're playing a game?" And oh, I love my coworkers for this. So they literally said, "Yeah, let's do it right now. Let's do it." And we make the video. I send it off to the producer and get all my documents signed and get okay by the doctor. And they okay me. They green light me to be on the show. And I was like, "Bro, no way. No way. Me? Somebody that wasn't even going to go to the daytime show to begin with, they want me to be on Ellen's game show. Nah, that can't be true. It cannot be true. This is a setup. Like, this has to be a setup. Like, are they going to rob me when I when I come to the show or something? Like, are they going to like, I don't know. Like, it was so weird. It was so surreal because till this time, I've never really tried to get on TV before. So it was like, "Oh, okay, whatever. I guess I'm gonna be on TV." So it was very surreal because I had I never wanted to be on TV. I never really cared about it because everybody's doing like YouTube and podcasts right now, and they're actually becoming more famous and earning more money by being on streaming platforms like YouTube and what have you. And usually I've heard really real bad horror stories about the show business in Hollywood. So I was very apprehensive at the moment, but I was very grateful for even being given the chance to be on her show. So I kindly ask for a half day at work. So it's a Friday, and I'm sorry, it is a Monday, and they shoot an entire season of Ellen's Game of Games in 1 week. So I go on the show. I had to fly from Las Vegas to LA, which to me doesn't make a lot of sense, where the drive is just 4 hours, but they flew me out for free. So I was like, "Oh yeah, it's free. I'll take it, whatever." And then I have my girl drive my car over to LA, and we can just drive back. So I just got a one-way ticket from them for free. They put us up at a very, very nice hotel in, I believe, Burbank, and they shuttled us super early in the morning. I would think it was like 5 in the morning. I'm like, "Bro, why? Why do you have us wake up so early to shoot this show?" But everything at this point is free, and they're like, "Hey, be on TV for free." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be on TV for free. I'll wake up in the morning to be on TV." And they shuttle us to the studio that we were at when we went into the audience for Ellen's daytime show. And they put us up in like this waiting room, like a green room kind of style, but it's like a very big waiting room where you can buy merch for Ellen. And we wait there for so long. So you can't bring yourself, there's no cell phones allowed. You cannot bring your cell phone. So we're literally in a group of, I believe, 15 people, and we're all strangers. We don't know who each other are. So they give us like a whole bunch of board games to play, like Connect Four, Uno, what have you, like all the regular, American board games. And we're literally sitting there playing these games, getting to know these people for like 6, 7 hours. 6 or 7 hours with strangers playing board games. Like, thinking about it without actually experiencing it. It sounds terrible, but when you experience it, like if you were, if you actually have to do it, it's really amazing just to not be with your cell phone and actually getting to know complete strangers for who they really are without like, hey, follow me on Instagram. Hey, follow me on Twitter. Follow me on YouTube. Do this and that. Like, hey, let me text this person. Let me call this person. Like, without any distractions, getting to know other human beings that you did not know prior to walking into that room, it was a gift. So it was a gift that I didn't realize until later on, because everyone is just so self-obsessed with themselves and social media, and getting to know people without all that garbage and distractions, it was actually a gift. I really liked it. So we wait 6 to 7 hours, and I wear this really nice outfit, and they tell us the game that we're going to be playing is going to be I can't remember the name of it. So it's pretty much like a trivia game, and if you get an answer wrong, they lift you a little bit up in the air. You get another answer wrong, they lift you up in the air more, and then you get a third one wrong, they just lift you all the way up in the air. I forgot what it was called, but that's the game that we play. And they're like, yeah, we need to put you into a harness that so we can lift you up in the air. And I'm like, wait, how are you going to attach this harness to me? They're like, yeah, we need to cut your clothes. We need to cut holes in your shirt. And I'm like, wait, no, this shirt is nice. Like, this shirt was expensive. And they're like, no. We're not going to cut your shirt. We're going to actually, already have a wardrobe ready for you to go and get clothes that we can freely just cut it since we're giving you these shirts. And I'm like, oh, cool. So they call me up to go into wardrobe, and they put me in like a 2X shirt. Like, so I wear a medium on any other day, right? They put this 2X shirt, this button up shirt on me, and it's like a salmon color shirt. And they cut holes in the back for the harness, and I'm looking like a gangster from like the early 2000s, like with this super baggy shirt on and these baggy pants that they gave me. And they fit me with the harness, and the harness is pretty thick. So it makes sense why they gave me a 2X shirt, because the harness took that space up between my body and the 2X shirt. And I'm getting up to where the stage is and where the game is. And they're like, okay, like I just got onto the stage, and they're like, okay, as soon as the curtain opens, we need you to just shout and clap and be happy. And you're going to meet Ellen. And they're like, and I'm like, what? Like, I knew this going in that, yeah, I was going to meet Ellen, but I thought it was going to be like a formal introduction before the entire show started. But no. You meet Ellen when you're actually about to play the game. So the doors open. I'm like clapping and yelling and screaming and super duper hype. And this was like an actual reaction, because I had never been on TV, never met anybody like Ellen before in person. And I introduced myself, and oh boy, I flubbed it, right? Like, this is the one time I flub it, because doing this podcast, being on YouTube for years, I'm used to public speaking and I have no issue with it. But when you're in front, when you're like there, you don't think, your mind just blanks out. So I literally say, hey, Ellen, my name is so-and-so. I'm from Detroit. So we have to say where we were from. If it was from a close city to Hollywood, we had to say where we originally were from. So I say like, hey, Ellen, I'm from Detroit. And I like your style. That's literally how it went. It was like, Ellen, I love your style. But luckily before that episode was broadcasted, the editors edited that part out, that pause, that weird pause. But Ellen still had a reaction to it. She was like, oh, it sounds like you were going to say something different. I'm like, yeah, I was going to say something different, but my mind completely spaced out. So that was strike number one for me. Like, we haven't even started the game. So we continue to play the game. And the first chick that I was playing against, she lost. So it was just me and this other chick answering questions. It was like a round robin. We kept having to go back and forth with answers. So so this is how I lost. This is how I lost my chance to win $100,000. So the question is, name states that start with a vowel, right? You look at me, I'm like, yeah, I've been all over the world. Yes, of course, this is a super duper easy question. But, you have me who just had a fit of stage fright before the game even started. You look at me and my mind spaces out. It freaking spaces out on this question. And Ellen is like, okay, you go first. I was like, oh crap, Arizona. And the chick is like, she says her state and then comes back to me. I'm like, Arkansas. And it goes back to the chick and she says her state. And then it comes back on me. And I'm on my second strike already. So I'm like halfway up in the air answering these questions. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Iowa? Did she say Iowa? Because if you repeat an answer, you lose. So I'm like, did she say Iowa already? Did she say Alaska? Did she say this, this, and that? And I'm like, and then boom, time runs out. And I go flying up in the air. And this chick wins. Me against me, a freaking world traveler. I've been to a lot of countries. I just don't travel domestically. So, I mean, I know my states. I know my geography very, very, very well when I'm not put under pressure in front of an audience of about 80 to 100 people and being filmed for viewership of about 1 million+ people in front of Ellen DeGeneres. Like, that's a lot of freaking pressure to perform under. And I'm used to performing under pressure. I'm the number one procrastinator of doing work or getting things done, because when I'm put under pressure, that's when I do my greatest work. But in this circumstance where so much was on the line and so much pressure was on me, my mind just spaced. It just spaced out. So I did not win the $100,000. Oh my gosh. Like, even bringing this up now, like, this is, it's crazy. But your boy was on TV. So if you look at season 3, episode 1 of Ellen's Game of Games, you'll see this guy. You will see this guy flub it more than once in 15 minutes. But hey, who can say they were on TV and they met Ellen DeGeneres in person? Ellen said they're like my name and made fun of me at the same time. Like, that is a story that I'm going to keep telling forever and ever and ever. And it's forever immortalized on my podcast now. So you guys know the complete story of me being on Ellen's game show. Cool. Cool story, right? Okay. Okay, so I want to get into the next topic of this podcast. It's COVID here in Nevada. So June 1st, Nevada dropped its mask mandate and increased the capacity of occupancy to 100% for all businesses here in Nevada. So it's pretty much wide open. It's pretty much pre-COVID now here in Nevada. So I want to just tell you guys about my experience, quote unquote, post COVID, because COVID is still here. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's just a lot less cases just because people are getting vaccinated and people are just being a little bit more safer, I hope. But my experience here in Nevada, me being fully vaccinated and so is my partner, we feel a little bit safer going out without a mask, going into a casino without wearing a mask. I do feel a lot safer. However, I'm still very, very cautious about where I go and who I interact with. So over this past weekend, we went to the Wynn Casino to go to a place called Earth Cafe. And I was like, hey, are they requiring masks? And she was like, no, they're not requiring masks. I was just there a few days ago. And we go in, we have our meal at Earth Cafe. And cool, we go in with no masks. We come out. I happen to meet a very cool YouTuber by the name of Drew Bensky while we were walking in the wind or walking out. Drew Bensky, he has been to almost every country on earth and has a few million subscribers on YouTube. So very cool guy, very down to earth. But we go into the wind, we come out, no mask. Cool. I would still be very careful about where I go. But I felt rather safe without a mask and being fully vaccinated here in Nevada. And going to different businesses now, like, I do feel a lot more comfortable, but I do not, I don't pretend like COVID doesn't exist. That's where people get it kind of confused. They think they lift a mask mandate somewhere and they automatically think that it's pre-COVID. They can just go wild and do crazy stuff. Like, no, the virus is still here and it's still killing people. So be very careful where you go. If you are fully vaccinated, if you're not fully vaccinated, wear your mask. That's it. This concludes the episode of the podcast, and I really do appreciate you guys watching and or listening to it. My name is Las Vegas J. You can follow me on YouTube and Instagram at Las Vegas J, and the J is spelled with J-A-Y. And thank you guys again for listening and watching this podcast. I'll see you guys soon. Peace.